Later, not a single person will recall seeing the lady board the flight at Hobart Airport. Nothing about her appearance or demeanour raises a red flag or even an eyebrow. She is not drunk or belligerent or famous. She is not injured, like the bespectacled hipster with his arms scaffolded in white gauze so that one hand is permanently pressed to his heart, as if he's professing his love or honesty. She is not frazzled, like the sweaty young mother trying to keep a grip on a slippery baby, a furious toddler, and far too much carry-on. She is not frail, like the stooped elderly couple wearing multiple heavy layers as if they're off to join Captain Scott's Antarctic expedition. She is not grumpy, like the various middle-aged people with various middle-aged things on their minds, or the flight's only unaccompanied minor, a six-year-old forced to miss his friend's laser tag party because his parents' shared custody agreement requires him to be on this flight to Sydney every Friday afternoon. She's not chatty, like the couple so eager to share details of their holiday you can't help but wonder if they're working undercover for a Tasmanian state government tourism initiative. She's not extremely pregnant, like the extremely pregnant woman. She is not extremely tall, like the extremely tall guy. She is not quivery from fear of flying or espresso or amphetamines, let's hope not, like the jittery teen wearing an oversized hoodie over very short shorts, which makes it look like she's not wearing any pants. And someone says, "She's that singer dating that actor," but someone else says, "No, that's not her. I know who you mean, but that's not her." She is not shiny-eyed like the shiny-eyed honeymooners flying to Sydney still in their lavish bridal clothes, those crazy kids, leaving ripples of goodwill in their wake and even eliciting a reckless offer from a couple to give up their business class seats, which the bride and groom politely but firmly refuse, much to the couple's relief. The lady is not anything that anyone will later recall. The flight is delayed. Only by half an hour. There are scowls and sighs, but for the most part, passengers are willing to accept this inconvenience. That's flying these days. At least it's not cancelled. Yet, say the pessimists. The PA crackles an announcement. Passengers requiring special assistance are invited to board. "Told you so." The optimists jump to their feet and sling bags over their shoulders. While boarding, the lady does not stop to tap the side of the plane once, twice, three times for luck, or to flirt with a flight attendant, or to swipe frantically at her phone screen because her boarding pass has mysteriously vanished. It was there just a minute ago. Why does it always do that? The lady is not useful, like the passengers who help parents and spouses find vanished boarding passes, or the square-shouldered, square-jawed man with a grey buzz cut who effortlessly helps hoist bags into overhead lockers as he walks down the aisle of the plane without breaking his stride. Once all passengers are boarded, seated and buckled, the pilot introduces himself and explains there is a minor mechanical issue we need to resolve, and passengers will appreciate that safety is paramount. The cabin crew, he points out with just the hint of a smile in his deep, trustworthy voice, are also only hearing about this now, so leave them be. He thanks folks for their patience and asks them to sit back and relax. They should be on their way in the next 15 minutes. They are not on their way in 15 minutes.